Thank you, Sharon, for reading that wonderful psalm, which we're going to look at together. Thank you, April, for leading us in worship and reminding us that as we embark upon this new year, we embark upon a new year with great hope, because we serve a God who is not confused, a God who is not surprised, a God who has a plan, and a God who has a part for us to play. And so there is such great hope as we look forward, as we begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, one of the things that's interesting about, that has been interesting about the last year and will continue to be interesting, is that Maggie is, as most of you know, a sixth grade teacher, and she teaches in at home at the moment, online. And so I'm sitting in my office, approximately where I'm sitting now, and she is out in the other room. And if I leave either or both of the doors open, I can hear the lessons she's teaching. And she's a language arts teacher. And so she's talking about all sorts of different things, and she teaches her students to understand things like similes and metaphors. And of course, one of the things that we're going to look at is a metaphor. It's one of the metaphors that the scripture uses time and time again for our relationship with God. All sorts of different writers use in different ways. They use the word hunger and thirst for the ways in which we long for a relationship with God. And so one of the focuses, if the primary focus of our 21 days is going to be, God, please help us to understand better what it means to hunger, what it means to thirst for you. Now, those are fundamental needs. If you've ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Maslow was a guy who set out what do we as human beings need most. If we're without these, we can't focus on anything else. Well, the fundamental things that we need include our food and our drink. If we are hungry and thirsty, then some of the other things which we enjoy or we need fade into the background. And so this is a very powerful metaphor for the way in which scripture tells us we should desire a relationship with God. And I think this is a profound challenge, because I'm not sure, as I begin to think about this, and we're going to think about it this morning, that is the way I always feel about my relationship with God. And what that tells me is that there is so much more that God has for you and me that I haven't yet grappled with, that I haven't grasped. God uses, in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, God uses hunger and thirst to persuade the people of Israel, to illustrate to the people of Israel what it is that he has for them. He says this: yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. So God actually allowed the people of Israel to go hungry so they might appreciate what it was to be hungry spiritually. He said, and then feeding you with manna, food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did teach you that people do not live by bread alone. That doesn't mean we don't need bread, but it means that we don't need bread alone. We need every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So this hungering and thirsting that we feel, if we don't understand what it's like to be hungry, or we don't understand what it's like to be thirsty, then it's much more difficult for us to understand what God was saying to them. So if you remember, one of the things that I challenged you last week to do, if you were with us last week, is to include in your plans for your 21 days something which requires you to go without perhaps a meal or something that will create a feeling of hunger with you. If God uses that to teach his people, then it seems that to me it would be a good lesson for us to learn. Jesus uses it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. He said, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice. They will be satisfied. That is the sort of desire that he says we need to have. And then in John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, in him, when we relate to him, those things are alleviated. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Now, of course, he's talking spiritually. He's talking metaphorically because he's not saying that anybody who comes to Jesus will never need to go to the grocery store and buy some bread. But he's saying, I will feed you spiritually. And then he says, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So he says, in me, you will understand spiritually what you understand physically when you feel hunger and thirst. So the teaching of hungering and thirsting is clearly something that's very important. And something which I certainly hope that I'm going to be able to reach for in an ever deeper way in these next 21 days. And I hope you're going to do that too. I hope you're excited about this next 21 days. Maybe a little scared, maybe a little bit wondering what's going to happen. Maybe it's the first time you've done this. I pray that you will be inordinately blessed. I pray that for each of us. But these things are a little scary, a little challenging. And, you know, there's a couple of difficulties with beginning to understand what hungering and thirsting is all about. And that is, as I said a couple of minutes ago, we don't know anything about hunger. And we don't really know that much about thirst. Yes, we do get thirsty sometimes, but compared to those people compared to the people in Jesus's time who lived in an agrarian society and were persecuted by the Romans, everything they had was taken away. They scrabbled together enough food for the day. And so many people in this world, we just see pictures of them. They're desperately hungry. And they are desperate for food. And that's the picture that we're given of how we should feel about our relationship with God. Desperate for more. Desperate to be deeper. And I don't know about you, but I certainly need that challenge. Because I think that very often I'm satisfied with so much less than God wants to give me. Now, I can't tell you how to hunger and thirst. I just can't. I mean, because it's not something you can describe. You can say, well, if you go without three meals in a day, you'll be hungry at the end of the day. Yes, I can. I can tell you how to get hungry, and that's not rocket science. But I can't tell you how to want God so badly, to want more of him so badly that you will do anything. When we see those little children in countries where there is no food, in refugee camps, they will do anything for a plate of rice. And God is saying, I want you in a place where you do anything for more of me because I've got so much to give you. I've got so much sitting, waiting for you. And as we come to these 21 days, I certainly hope that I'm going to appreciate that so much more as I do that. But what I can do, and what I'm hoping we'll be able to do this morning, is to suggest to you some questions that you might ask. And I want to suggest that you join the pondering team that we see in Scripture. We saw Jacob a couple of weeks ago, when we're looking at the story of Joseph. When Joseph told them the dreams, his brothers hated him and didn't like him. But even though Jacob was a little bit confused, he stopped and he pondered. And he wondered. Mary, waiting for her wedding day, instead of panicking, instead of complaining, instead of whining, what Mary did when she heard from the angel, even though what he said to them, what he said to her was so outrageous, she pondered these things in her heart. And I think that one of the keys to us hungering and thirsting after God is to make space to ponder many, many things. I said one of the primary purposes of fasting is to create space for God, to create space to ponder. And I guarantee you that if you make space to ponder, you will hear things you've never heard before. And I guarantee you that because I've learned it myself. And I don't find pondering easy, but I have really learned over the past year that if I make space to ponder, I will begin to understand. And some of the questions that I think that we need to ask, okay, so what does these metaphors, hunger, what do they mean to me? What do I understand them? What do you understand by them? What do you understand by hungering for God? Are you willing to ask God to show you what it means to hunger for him and to thirst for him? And why is it important to do that? Why does God use those metaphors to help us? I mean, what's so important about that? And then what's so important about that now? Because I think there is a now importance that is really fundamental as we begin this new year. It's fundamental as we begin any year, but this year is the beginning of a year which is different because of what happened last year. And therefore, there is a now factor. And then if we hunger and thirst after God, what should we expect? How do we know? What are the expectations that we have? Those are all difficult questions. You're not going to, I can't give you three verses to look up and you've done it. I can't give you a 2-minute devotion which can tell you how all those things are going to work. But because God uses those pictures and Jesus uses them in the New Testament, I think we need to ponder them if we're going to go deeper than we've been before. If we're going to be Christians who are not satisfied with okay, I want to be a Christian this year. I want to be a follower of Jesus that is not satisfied with where I've been before. And I hope that you do too. We're going to use Psalm 63 as a framework to hang some of our thoughts on. I think it's really important to understand that because we need to understand what this word is, what the Bible is in terms of God's communication with us. If we're going to hear from God, how does the Bible fit into that? Well, 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 tells us that this is that for you will have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Understanding that this scripture, these pages contain the living word of God, that God speaks to us in all sorts of different ways when we will ponder the scripture, is so important as we begin to understand how can I deepen and my relationship with God, not just to know about him, but to know him. So important that we recognize that if we, one of the major messages that God speaks through his word is, I want you to know who I am. I want you to know me. And I believe that we need to ponder our relationship with God. What does it look like? What does it feel like? You know, when we have close friendships, and if you're married, if you have, when it's a process of getting to know the person you're going to marry, I remember when I was began to communicate with Maggie, I was hungry to know more about her. We most of our early getting to know each other was done over the internet. And we've laughed about the fact that I didn't know she was doing this and she didn't know I was doing it. But I would keep, because we were emailing back and forth, I would keep going back to my computer to check my email to see if there was anything from her. Because it was more important to me than most of the other things I was doing, to be honest. I wanted to hear how she replied to it. And Maggie actually made a book, a scrapbook of, she printed out a lot of the emails that we wrote to each other. But I was anxious to know her, not to know about her, but to get to know who she was. And I think so often when we look at our relationship with God, we want to know, we believe that the scripture will tell us about God. But actually, his purpose is that we should know him, to appreciate his character and to realize that he knows us. I think, and that we should long for relationships of substance with God. Dallas Willard, in the book that I'm reading during the 21 days, he shares something about this, which I think is really close to my experience. Because, you know, we all we know in our heads about the presence of God and hearing from God. We know that those exist. But when I asked the question earlier, how do you experience that? I think some of us, certainly I, end up being a little bit more confused and struggle to articulate it. And he says in Bible, the open secret amongst Bible believing churches is that only a very small percentage of their members understand what it is to have a personal relationship with God, which is not about simply about knowledge. He says, when we talk about such things as hearing from God, many sincere Christians are left on the outside looking in. It's not necessarily that their experience is lacking, but they don't understand the language or how their experience works. So often you end up feeling, okay, well, I think everybody else understands this, but I don't. Why do other people have God speaking to them and I don't feel like he speaks to me? Whereas hearing from God is real, but how am I supposed to experience it? Do I understand the language? And I think that going deeper for us is going to be beginning to understand the language and understanding and thirsting for the word of God is part of that process. You see, I think so often our relationship with God is, if we really think about it like I asked us to, it's a relationship of where we ask God for answers and for instructions. You know, will you do this? How should I do that? Why is this happening? I want answers, God. And I really want to know what you think I should do. I don't think that's a very satisfactory relationship, because it feels to me more like a school or work. A school's answering my questions. At work, I get instructed as to what to do. And I don't think that sort of a relationship, I don't know about you, but I don't hunger and thirst for that sort of a relationship. I mean, they're okay, but I don't hunger and thirst after them. And I don't think that's the relationship that God is asking us to hunger and thirst after. I don't think that's what he planned. Let's just for a second go back to two, three of the most important chapters in the whole of the Bible, I think. And that's the first three chapters of Genesis. When God created, he created a garden. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, he planted a garden in the east. He planted a garden, and there he placed the man he had made. His relationship with the man that he had made was, I want to give you something beautiful. I want to place you somewhere where you are going to flourish. And then verse 19 of chapter 2, he says he formed to the ground all the wild animals and birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see that what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. So God sat down with Adam and said, hey, what should we call this? What should we call this? And you imagine the process. Duck. Hippopotamus. You know, it's just amazing to think that God sat down with man, and that was the sort of relationship that he designed. That man should know him, should laugh with him, should enjoy his presence. And then one of my favorite verses in the whole of, I mean, I know I've got lots of them, but one of my favorite verses in the whole of Scripture, chapter 3 and verse 8, unfortunately, man's in trouble at that point, but it says that God was walking with them in the cool of the day. What a great picture. You don't get the impression that he was coming to check on them, to get inventory of all the jobs that they'd done. He was walking with them in the cool of the day. Kim, you know, when you go for a walk with somebody, I'm learning to go for walks again. It's not something that has been a great pleasure in my life, but the last few days, Maggie and I have been out for walks, and I've really enjoyed those walks. And so God is painting a picture there of a relationship that he wants with us. There's no school there where Adam simply said had a list of questions which he wanted answered, and God had a list of tasks that he got Adam to do the next day. It was a relationship of friendship. It was a nationship that worked both ways. At the beginning of Psalm 63, David says this. David says, "Oh God, you are my God, and earnestly I search for you." I don't get the feeling that David was saying, "I need a set of instructions," or "I need answers to my questions." David had a relationship with God which bursts out of the Psalms. And so he's, when you earnestly seek for somebody, that's, I think we begin to see that we hunger and thirst. That's what David is saying. I earnestly search for you. My whole body longs for you. My soul thirsts for you. in a land where there is no water. Well, of course, he knew about lands where there are no water. And so God paints a picture of us. David paints a picture of being longing for a relationship, longing for the relationship he had with God. And that's what he experiences. And that's what I believe God offers to us. And the way David talks there, it suggests to me the way in the New Testament we're told to call God Abba, Father. To come to him and say, Dad, I want to be with you. Dad, I want to spend time with you. I had a really interesting thought this week because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I sit down and I'm trying to get silent and I'm trying to get quiet, my mind goes crazy and I've got all sorts of things. And it was impressed upon me that I needed to stop trying to push all of those things which were on my mind out of my mind so that I could focus, but rather to assume that if this is the sort of relationship that God wants to have with me, and I want to have that relationship with him, then he's interested in those things. So I can bring them to him. I can ask him about the things that I can't get out of my mind and the plans for this and how I do this. And, you know, it's very interesting because I've discovered that as I do that, they become less dominant in my mind because I'm actually talking to him about them. And they become part of my relationship with him. And I can be honestly, that makes me hunger and thirst for the relationship even more. The recognizing that he is concerned with the details and ridiculously insignificant as I see them, things of my life, realizing that he's interested in those, then I hunger and thirst for more of that sort of relationship. It's interesting, in this psalm, there are some things, some phrases that are used here. He says, I've seen you in your sanctuary. I've gazed upon your power and glory. I lie awake thinking of you. I sing for joy, it's verse 7, in the shadow of your wings. A lot of those expressions suggest something which in ancient Hebrew culture was called incubation. And people used to go into the sanctuary, into the temple, and lie on their faces before God all night. When they hungered and thirsted after God, they would lie on their faces all night. And they would call this sort of process incubation. And this psalm suggests that it comes out of David's incubation. Now, here's the really encouraging thing, because what David discovers in verse 2, I have seen you. He's saying, I've experienced this relationship. I need you now. Earnestly, I'm seeking you, and I'm confident that I'm going to get there because I've experienced you in the past. I've seen your unfailing love is better than life itself. I praise you as long as I live. So it suggests that David has experienced something that he wants to experience again. So as we seek for a deeper and deeper relationship with God, I believe he will give us deeper and deeper experiences. And that we can look back now and say, what did he do for you in 2020? Now, all of the things that went wrong, how did he enable you to survive 2020? What were the new things you learned? What was the fresh and deeper understanding of God's control and God's reality and God not having made any mistakes? What was those things that you learned in 2020? And will you earnestly seek that he will take you deeper and deeper? and understand that as we pray, he will do just that. Now, I'm not suggesting, of course, that you need to lie on your face overnight, but you may well need to do that. But I'm not suggesting that you should take that literally. But I am saying is that if we're hungering and thirsting, that process represents an attitude and a desire that God wants to place in our hearts. A desire for what he wants to give us. And I believe that that focus will be so important, which is why 21 days gives us space to ponder, to think. That's its value if we will accept it. So why do we need to hunger and thirst? Because God has so much more of a relationship to give to us than we have yet experienced. But why now? Now, because we face a new year when we have had total confusion and all sorts of revelations, difficult and uncomfortable revelations in the past year. We've had a pandemic on which we're still wondering whether we're going to get out of. We've had a toxic election. We've had the timely rise of the recognition of the racial tensions within our country, all of those things, and so many more that I believe God wants to take us through. But they have revealed weaknesses in us, if we're honest. If we're honest, they have revealed weaknesses in us. We can just sweep them aside and say, okay, well, it's all over now. No, but I believe God has a purpose for them, and that is to take us deeper. And if we want that strengthening, we need to hunger and thirst for more of God so that he may strengthen us, to enable us, whatever we have to face in 2021, that we will be stronger in enabling us to do that. So why now? Because we need him more than ever. Because the world needs a church that will show the power of the living God more than ever. The last question was, what can we expect? Well, the answer to that is very simple. An answer. I can't tell you what your answer will be, because I know that your answer is going to be different than my answer. The things that he's going to take you into will be different than the things he's going to take me into. But I will tell you this, that your unique answer and my unique answer, when we put them together, become the unique answer for our community in this place at this time. And I'm going to say it again and again, that I believe that the community that God has created in New Life Christian Fellowship has a powerful purpose for this place at this time. And it is as we receive those unique answers and put them together, God will mold us into what he wants us to be at this place, at this time. So my challenge to you is this. Do you want this as much as David wants to earnestly seek his heavenly Father? Will you earnestly search? Will you seek to understand what being hungry and thirsty is for longing for God? Because I know that he'll show you if you ask him. Are you willing to spend some time alone this week and tell him that you're hungry, or you want to be hungry, or you want to understand hunger better and ponder? David asked, and so he received. I know that if we ask, we will receive. And you see, This series is called The Possibilities of Prayer. I believe that when we come to God with a hunger and a thirst, the possibilities for our prayer life are endless. And I really want that. I hope you do too. We're going to gather around the Lord's table. We're going to gather around and we're going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross in order that this relationship that God wants with us, where he knows us and we know him, was made possible. I hope that this will be just the beginning. And then we're going to finish our service with that lovely, wonderful song as the deer pants for the water brooks, which expresses in this metaphorical language the way David tells us that the deers pant for the water brooks, an animal who longs to quench its thirst. Lord, may we be, may we come to our quiet times, come to our the space we create by fasting, may we come to those times panting for the water brooks. Oh, how I long to know you better. Oh, how I long to know you more. Let's come to the Lord's table, shall we? Once again, I'm going to use the words from the Message paraphrase, which is it's not a translation, but it's a wonderful expression of how the Scripture speaks out of our hearts, I think, and I love this particular piece, and because it expresses so. In today's language, in a sense, what Paul was telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, let me go over with you again exactly what goes on at the Lord's Supper and why it's so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself, from Jesus, and passed them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, I've said this many times, I always pause at that word, because betrayal is such a painful concept. I don't know if you've ever experienced being betrayed and how it just takes over. You can't think of anything else. You can't, your the pain is such that it occupies your mind in so many different ways. But Jesus, rather than he was being betrayed, and yet his mind was occupied with providing a way in which we could remember what he was about to do. The people who he's talking to, I don't think I had any idea what he was really what he was about to do. And they certainly didn't realize that he was doing it intentionally in order that we might be saved. Because what was about to happen for them was a disaster. And on one level, it was. But that disaster provided the greatest victory that's ever been seen. After he was, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me. Let's eat together. Body of Christ. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. Now, this must have been confusing to them too, because they were used to the Passover feast, which is what they were having. But then he redefines one of the cups. There was three cups taken during the course of the Passover. And he's redefining one of them. He's redefining the last one. And he's saying, this cup is my blood. Well, that was confusing enough as it is. But he said, this cup is my blood, my covenant with you. Each time you drink it, remember me. They had been taught to remember the deliverance from Egypt in the Exodus. But now he's saying, God made a covenant with you then. I'm making a new one now. And it's in my blood. Drink this. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. Let's remember him as we drink together. Father Christ, keep you in eternal life.
My blood.
And then Paul goes on, what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the master. Because we now know exactly what he meant when he said those things. We know that his body was broken on the cross. We know that his blood was shed on the cross. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the master returns. And then this last little phrase, which is so powerful, you must never let familiarity breed contempt. You must never let the coming around the Lord's table be so routine that you forget its significance. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving your son. We thank you that this meal has been provided for us in order to remember. Forgive us, Lord, if we ever take it for granted. Forgive us if it ever becomes routine. And Lord, help us to be a people that hunger and thirst after its reality, in order that we might declare its reality to a world who so desperately needs it. We ask this in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now let's sing together, as the deer pants for the water brooks. And let's ask as we sing that God would enable us to be those who pant for the water brooks, who hunger and thirst, and that God will show us how he longs to meet that hunger, satisfy that hunger, and be the water of life.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, you are our heart's desire. And we need you to help us, to teach us what that means. We need you to teach us to hunger and to thirst, because you have so much more to give us than we ever realize. Father, we ask that you will place within our hearts, as we begin this 21 days, a holy dissatisfaction with what we've received so far, in order that we might long for more, that you might equip us for all that you have for us to do this year. Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you've provided, but give us that longing for more. For we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today, tomorrow, and until we meet again. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Join us in our online fellowship for the first Sunday of this year. Even if you could only stay for a few minutes, say hi. If you want to sit and eat your lunch and talk to us, that would be great. But I look forward to hearing from you next week, to hearing more about the things that God has been saying to you as you have hungered and thirsted after him for this week. And that the things that are unique, that as we put them together will show us what God has in store for us as a community. May God bless you richly this week. I look forward to seeing you next week.